This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everyone. We greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen, victorious, reigning, and coming again. Perhaps it will be soon. Many of us at Truro Church have had the growing conviction over the last several months that God is calling us to begin this radio ministry. We've been much in prayer about it, but up until now, the time has not been right. But you know, just 2 weeks ago, the doors began to fly open, and the Lord said very clearly, "Now." It's been an interesting scramble to try to get ready. This is the very first day, the very first program in a brand new venture. I'd like at the outset to thank all of the folks here at WABS who have been so helpful in getting us started. I want to say just a word about Truro Church to explain why we're beginning this ministry. Truro is located right in the heart of Fairfax City on Main Street, diagonally across from the courthouse. If you like, you can trace its history back to colonial days. It's named after the Diocese of Truro in Cornwall, England. But far more important than that, and much, much more exciting, is what God is saying to us and what He's doing among us today. God is pouring out His Spirit in the most marvelous way. He's bringing people to Himself. He's healing broken relationships as well as broken bodies. Not long ago, we had two very special people come to one of our services, a lady with a tumor, a cancerous tumor the size of a grapefruit. And we prayed for her, and within 2 weeks' time, that tumor had shrunk away to absolutely nothing. That same evening, there was a little girl, only 5 years old. Her parents brought her, and she had spina bifida. She had absolutely no leg muscles. And again, we prayed, and within a week, the doctors reported that they had never seen anything like it. They were bearing witness to a miracle. And where there had been no leg muscles, muscles were beginning to grow. Praise God. These are some of the things that God has been doing among us. We take absolutely no credit for it, but we rejoice in it. The Lord has given us a concern for outreach. We're literally reaching around the world with the arms of God's love. And we sense that here at Truro, as is true in so many other places, what He's really about is preparing the bride for the return of Christ. We believe that, among all these other things, God has raised up this parish to be a teaching center. In the words of Ephesians 4, for the equipping of the saints, His children, you and me, for the work of ministry. And now He's asking us to share some of that equipping via the airwaves. Our purpose is not to try to attract new members, though of course if you're looking for a church home, we'd love nothing better than to extend to you the heartiest of welcomes. But that's not our purpose. We'd far rather have you brighten the corner where you are. We're not looking for your money either, though again, should you feel led of God to become a partner in this ministry, we'd welcome your support. We simply sense the call of God to try to share with others some of the good things He's been sharing with us. And if that helps you to more fully appreciate the wonder and majesty of who He is, and the height and depth and length and breadth of His love for you in a personal way, well, then it makes the effort more than worthwhile. Folks have asked me, how in the world did you come up with the title, The Inside Story? One fellow said, I never heard of a Christian radio program with a name like that. Well, stop and think about it. Isn't The Inside Story exactly what we really want to discover? I mean, aren't you tired of superficial Christianity? It abounds. The writer to the Hebrews commented, by now, you ought to be teachers yourselves, but instead you need somebody to teach you the ABCs of salvation. Hosea said, my people are perishing for lack of instruction. We want to get beyond the superficial, beyond a merely surface understanding. We want to get inside the Word and let it get inside of us. Jeremiah said, "If I do not speak God's Word, it becomes to me like fire in my bones." The Word of God was inside him. I want the Word of God inside me, and I trust you want it too. One more thing. If there's any way that we can be of help to you, I wish you'd drop us a line. Truro Church, Fairfax, Virginia, zip code 22030. That's all the address you need. Or give us a call, 273-1300. We'll repeat that address and that phone number at the end of the program. I need to say that I begin my part in this ministry with a tremendous sense of my own inadequacy, of my need for God's anointing and guidance, and of my need for your prayers. If this ministry is of help to you, we'd sure like to hear about it. And also, I'd like to hear from you if there's anything we teach that isn't clear or that you think doesn't square with Scripture. Please, don't take anything that I say or that anyone else says on this or any other station or from any pulpit or in any book. Don't take it at face value. Check it out in the book. Acts 17 commends the Jews in Berea because, first of all, they received Paul's word with eagerness, but then they examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I hope that the inside story will contain a word that you'll receive with eagerness, but don't stop there. Check it out in the Scriptures. Examine them daily to see if these things be so. This week, as we begin, we want to be thinking of some of the encounters with Jesus that we read about in the New Testament. And I can't think of any better place to start than where he did, with his first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. I'm sure you remember the story. John chapter 2, it says there was a marriage in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. You know, as I read that, he's not even given top billing. It's almost as if he accompanied his mother, that she had the invitation, and he came along with some of his friends. It's quite clear that Jesus didn't come to be the center of attention. He came simply to celebrate the joy of the bride and groom, to share their happiness, to lend his blessing to it. But it says, when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." That might sound as something of a rebuff. When he says, "O woman," he's really using a term of respect. It's not a rebuff. It doesn't translate awfully well in English. But he's saying, "My hour hasn't come. This isn't my hour. This is the hour of the bride and groom." But his mother persisted. She said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." They filled them up to the brim. He then said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." So they took it. And you know the story. When the steward of the feast tasted the water, which now had become wine, he didn't know where it had come from. He didn't know what Jesus had done. But when he tasted that wine, he said, "How remarkable. Everybody serves the good wine first, and then after men have drunk freely and their taste buds have begun to become affected, they bring out the poor wine. But you, the bridegroom of this party," he thought he was the one who provided it, "you've kept the best wine until now." Isn't that a lovely story? John adds this, "The first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Jesus' first miracle was a matter of salvaging a party. We call Jesus the man of sorrows, and yet I see him moving to assist and salvage people's joy as he begins his ministry. They ran out of wine, and Jesus was reluctant at first to do anything about it, but his mother insisted. And she told the servants one of the absolutely most basic keys to the whole walk of faith. She said, "Do whatever he tells you to." And Jesus took water. It wasn't even drinking water. It was water set aside for the rites of purification. That's for cleansing utensils. That's for washing things. It's bath water, if you will. Do you see what's happening? Jesus took the most common of everyday substances, ordinary bath water, and transformed it into the wine of celebration. This is the Jesus that I'm interested in. This Jesus says to me that however inadequate I may be, as I've just admitted to you feeling at the beginning of this new ministry, however inadequate I may be, if I take what I have, ordinary bath water, he'll turn it into the wine of rejoicing. Is there a word of good news to you this morning as you think about whatever it is you're facing today and you see your own inadequacy? I want you to hear the word of Jesus. Bring to me what you have. It may seem to you utterly inadequate, but entrust it to me. Do what I tell you, and watch me transform it into the stuff of celebration. You know, I frequently say to young couples as they're about to get married, it won't take you very long to realize how easy it is to run out of resources in your married life together. But when that happens, you bring whatever it is you've got to Jesus and watch him transform it into the wine of celebration. Well, praise God. That's the kind of Jesus that we want to encounter this week. And that's the inside story.